Here we are with one of my favorite people, not in the state, not in the country, not in the, but in the world, maybe the universe, Congressman Peter Welch. You know, Peter, you and I have talked on the phone so many times and done these interviews so many times. And I actually saw you on the television the other day. I said, wait, that's the way he looks?
Yeah, it was a disappointment.
Not at all. Not at all. just an enlightenment. Okay.
You know, it's interesting because you get a picture of how somebody looks by the way they sound. And my experience, it usually doesn't match up.
No, it's true. And when I've given speeches before large crowds sometimes, and I always say, I know the first thing you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. And they all look at you and they say, you're thinking, but he's so short. Okay, so you made a lot of news the other day with Colonel Vindman, and tell us about that whole thing.
Well, it was the transcript of the Vindman testimony was released, and of course, I was in the Intelligence Committee among those asking questions, and the Post picked up the exchange between me and Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, and it was a very relevant part because he was making it clear, absolutely clear, that he believed there was a quid pro quo. That is, that the president was definitely saying that no meeting, no defensive weapons, unless Ukraine does a investigation of the Bidens to help me in my next campaign. So Vindman was just very explicit, had no doubt that that was happening. The part about Vindman that was so wonderful, actually, is aside from his character in his service and in his heroism, is that he immediately saw how this was going to be just terrible for Ukraine, because Ukraine's enjoyed strong bipartisan support in their effort to deal with corruption and also resist Russian aggression. And he knew that if Ukraine got itself ensnared in a partisan campaign on behalf of President Trump, it would jeopardize the strong bipartisan support they've enjoyed.
So your sense of Vindman, I love the guy because he's an identical twin as I am. Your sense of the guy and his integrity was what?
Outstanding. You know, one of the bright spots of this whole sordid experience is that people who are coming forward with nothing to gain, and in fact a lot to lose, jeopardy for their career, are public servants, people in the intelligence community, people in the military like Colonel Vindman, people in the State Department like Ambassador Taylor. And they are motivated, you can see it, by a professionalism and competence and dedication to our country.
And they're
right. But I got to say, it's just inspiring to see these public servants who really adhere to the values that I think most of us admire. They're honest. They're focused on doing the right thing for the country, and they're professional. So that's been the inspiring part of this whole enterprise for me.
You know, Chuck Schumer got criticized in the news because he said something nice upon Congressman Peter King's retirement. And I'm wondering, is there no room for a Democrat to say something nice about a Republican on their retirement?
Well, first of all, let me make the same transgression. I'm really friendly with Peter King. He's a wonderful personality here and represents this district well. And I'm in the Irish-American caucus with Peter King. And obviously we have a lot of differences, but they're all direct and above board. I mean, he's a straight shooter, and he represents his district well. And absolutely. So count me in the Schumer camp and saying nice things about Peter King.
Yeah, I think everybody deserves a pat on the back when they're leaving. A lot of Republicans are leaving. Do you think it's because now that they're in the minority, they think they're doomed to be in the minority forever and they just don't want it after having had a taste of being powerful in the majority?
Well, there's no question that being in the majority is better than being in the minority, and I've been in both. So I think that's a factor. There's another factor. Some of the people leaving used to be chairs of committees and under the Republican side, chair or ranking member. You have to move on after 6 years. But I also think for many, it's just a real dilemma because many of them do not approve of a lot of the conduct of President Trump. and every day they're being asked to defend it. And it's kind of wearing some of my colleagues down. That's my take on it. Some others, obviously, are all in with Trump and Matt Gaetz style. But I think it's tough for some of our members who have been outstanding and long-serving members.
So let me talk to you about the prescription drug price bill. I know that you feel very strongly about this, but am I wrong? And didn't the president run on that, saying that he thought it was disgraceful the kind of prices people were paying for drugs in this country? And what has he done?
Well, he did run on that. And Elijah Cummings, the wonderful Elijah Cummings, and I met with the president in April of 2017 in the White House. And the president said all the right things, as far as I'm concerned. He said, pharma's ripping us off. We should have price negotiation. He called it bidding. We should be able to import safe drugs from other countries. And he got the politics of this, how a lot of folks voting for him really are getting hammered by these high prescription drug costs. So there's some, you know, I continue to have some hope that at the end of the day, the president may support this very ambitious bill that we're going to take up in the House, if not because he understands it, but he also sees the politics in it. There's a huge, huge benefit for everybody if we pass legislation to bring down these outrageous prices.
What about your Republican colleagues? Do they see the political benefits?
I think they see the political benefits, but for them, a lot of them see the political peril because, you know, pharma is very, very powerful here, and it's got its hooks into the Republican caucus, and it's had it, in all candor, in the Democratic caucus as well. But with Pelosi pushing this, it's going to give us a chance to pass legislation that could save about $500 billion over the next 10 years. But the pharma argument that is being advanced by many of my Republican colleagues is that if we have price negotiation, they're going to call it price fixing or price setting. And what you and I know, and I think even President Trump totally knows, is, you know, we already have price setting. The pharma sets the price, and we have to pay for it. So it's pretty outrageous, but that's the argument pharma makes. And it's getting worse and worse. You know, I was talking even at the VA where they do have price negotiation. My local VA, they tell me one of the biggest challenges to their budget is they're getting year over year 20% increases in the cost of prescription drugs. It's just brutal and unsustainable.
And there's so much pain as a result of this, and we are going into new and uncharted areas. I see that we have all kinds of new cancer-fighting techniques, some of them which can cost $100,000.
Well, see, this is the dilemma, because we obviously want research, but if you come up with a medication that's so expensive nobody can afford it, the drug may save you, but the price will kill you. It's just not sustainable, so there has to be another way to approach this where we definitely promote research and development, but we also have affordability as part of this. So what we're doing now is essentially letting the pharma companies decide what the price will be, and then we pay it. And they've been able to manage to do that because that price gets spread out through all these insurance programs in Medicare and Medicaid. The government basically has to pick up the tab with significant copays in the case of Medicare. But it gets spread out, and they just have, in my view, abuse their power very extensively. So there's got to be pushback here.
Do you think that there's any chance that you can pull this off? Or do you think it's just too much of a heavy lift for the Republicans in the Senate?
Well, I think two things. First of all, if we pass this in the House, and I think we will, and this would be literally about $500 billion in savings.
Right.
I think that it would face very tough going in the Senate. But who knows? If President Trump decided that this is something he wanted to support, I think that would have a big, big impact. That's where the president continues to have a potential to play a big role. And by the way, some of my colleagues say, hey, we wouldn't want President Trump to have a victory. That's not my view. I want the American people to have a victory. So if it takes President Trump getting behind this, more power to him and us, because that'll benefit everybody, whether they're in a red district or a blue district. Senator Grassley in the Senate he's not in favor of price negotiation, but he is in favor of cracking down on patent abuses by these pharma companies, and he's a real champion of that. So even if the Senate only acts on the stuff that Senator Grassley's pushing, that would also be significant improvement over the status quo.
I don't fully understand what patent abuse is. Can you help us with that?
I can. You know, you get a period, you've come up with a pharma drug, you get a monopoly for a certain length of time.
Right.
But when that monopoly period, let's say it's 7 years, ends, what pharma companies have done is like changed a molecule. So instead of at the end of 7 years, a generic coming on in competition, bringing the price down, they extend that monopoly for another 7 or 10 or 12 years. Or another example of patent abuse, a generic has a drug that is about to come online when the patent expires, and the pharma company goes to the generic company and pays them money to keep their drug off the market, therefore allowing them to continue to sell that drug without any competition. Those are two of the most extreme examples, but they're very, very common. Senator Grassley has been a champion on getting rid of those, and I have worked on the House side doing the same.
We've been talking with Congressman Peter Welch, one of the greatest legislators in the universe, as I said at the opening of this. And when we come back, I got lots more to ask him, including what's going on with the Paris Climate Accord.